Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, y'all. We are so excited for a very special episode of Batwoman without the after show, but a show because we have a very special guest joining us today, none other than Mary Hamilton. It is Nicole King.
Hello.
Hi.
Excited to have you guys joining us in our homes for the very special coronavirus edition of AfterBuzz TV. And as always, if you're tuning in live, you get to co-host the show with us. So join us in the chat and, of course, on social media, ABTV, Batwoman, everything. And, of course, lovely Katie is going to be handling the chat. So, hey, Katie. So
hi. Cool. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a special Batwoman. I'm Katie, like you guys know. But I have different colored hair now. It's more Batwoman themed, you know. So, and
thank
I'll be in the chat.
You.
Yeah, I'll be in the chat. So if you guys have any questions for Nicole, just let us know. We'll see you out. Hook you up.
Yeah. And then first and foremost, Nicole, because we were just talking, you're now in LA, but what's going on with you as far as, like, how are you doing through all this craziness?
Oh, thank you. I feel like I've gone up and down. I've run through the gamut of feeling frustrated and feeling claustrophobic, but I actually handled a huge move that, you know, 3 months ago seemed like a much better idea, but cross country from New York, which I've been in for over 8 years, to LA. So joining you guys on the West Coast. So it's been a little nuts, but I've been here, you know, like self-quarantining and staying at home for a week now. And I'm like just starting to find some semblance of routine and like, I've been like painting and meditating and doing things like got a succulent maybe to like try and keep something alive, you know, like good things for me.
Yeah.
So I've been doing well. So, yeah.
Were you guys shooting Batwoman when everything got shut down and they sent you guys home?
We were right in the thick of it, in shooting episode 20, which we were actually, I think, yeah, it was so, I mean, we're just in the middle of it all. And it was kind of crazy because I was actually in New York to do press. Like I was for another sort of movie I was in, but I was super excited to go on the Today Show. And it all of a sudden the world came to a halt, like as you guys experienced. And my showrunner, Caroline, called me and was like, don't get on the plane to Vancouver. Like, you might not be able to leave. We're shutting down production here. So we're sort of in like a holding pattern right now. I know a lot of shows have wrapped their season. I couldn't give you a spoiler if I tried because I don't know what's happening. But so we're still in a holding pattern. Like, who knows? We come back on April 26th. Which I'm really excited about. And, you know, I think we're like scheduled to like go through, you know, I think it's May 17th. But then after that, I literally have no idea. So I'm ready for more Mary.
You know what? Actually, let me ask you this. So when we do our after show, we always start and we ask our people in the chat who their hashtag badass beast is. And that's basically like either the actor that they like love to hate because they're so good at being bad, or they're just amazing, like badass. So is there any particular character that you would hashtag badass beast?
Oh my God. Well, badass for sure is Batwoman, Ruby. Like she and Mel, her stunt double, beat up so many bad guys. It's so awesome. And Alice is definitely like love to hate her, love to love her. She does such a great job of, you know, drawing you in and making you love her, even though she's doing these like terrible things.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay, so Katie, really quick, I'm gonna throw it to you in the chat. Do we have anybody who's wanting to say hello?
Yeah, well, there's some people. We have we have Mama Never Dead who said yo, and then we have Mercenary X84 who just says hello, and then a Josh Herrera says, "Oh my effing gosh, Mary is the best!" Exclamation points. So and then you know some emojis. So yeah, so they're all happy.
Oh, super exciting! Great. So, like, we're really curious. There's been so many amazing story arcs. Do you have a particular one that's either really your favorite or was, like, a super shocker when you got the script?
I do. It's it's episode 8. Me and my cast mom, my TV mom, Elizabeth Ann Weiss, became really, really close through the process and have an amazing relationship. And then episode 8 came around, and for in the middle of Mary's coming of age story, she's running this secret clinic, she's trying to figure out who she is, like, as a citizen of the world of in Gotham of all places, and her world comes to a shrieking halt sort of when she loses her mom. And that was such a difficult episode, honestly, for me to shoot, for me to prepare for. And me and Elizabeth, really on and off camera, we were constantly running through scenes, we were constantly going through episode 8 to be able to give her and her character. For me, I felt like it was, you know, a big responsibility to help give tribute to, like, what an amazing actor she is, what an amazing castmate she's been to me. So it was just this sort of bittersweet, difficult, but it definitely paid off in the end. And it's really heartbreaking, but I think really important for Mary. So that so far has been definitely the most, like, memorable episode for me, in Mary's arc. Yeah, so far. So
then what is your preparation process? Like, in general, you get the script.
Yeah.
What happens next for you?
So often we get a script and we've got, like, fast turnaround. We've got to turn and burn a little bit. So I definitely, as soon as I get new episodes, they go through many drafts and we get sent many drafts. So I'm constantly reading it, you know, and I'm reading it for differences. And our writer's room is so amazing, headed by Caroline. They make it easy to act because it's really rich language and incredible scenes. And I'm often like, oh, shit, like, you know, like, as amazed as you guys are. And so I just ingest it first. And I sit with it, and then I get off book as quickly as possible. So I'm just like, I'm not even thinking about it when I'm on set. And oftentimes I will be like, I'll walk it out, as I'll say. Like, for me, I'm definitely like, I like, it's a dance, you know, too, as much as it is sort of this, like, linguistic battle field. I find that when it's, like, in my body, I feel good about it. I feel in control. Oftentimes for Mary, it takes some research. I'm like, what's a hematoma? What's a hemorrhage? Where in the brain is that? What happens when a person does this? How do I stitch up a person? My Google results are often very, you know, sporadic and medically centered. Sometimes they're, she makes me more woke, more challenged. Like Mary is the ultimate ally. So I'm constantly up to date on how I'm gendering things and if I am and all the running the whole gamut of sexuality and being sure that I am the expert that Mary is. So it definitely takes a lot of research too. But then I get out there, and as we've created these deep bonds, like, it becomes easier and easier to, you know, play against Du Gray Scott or Rachel. You know, when Mary and Alice get in the room, we really have fun and we really go at it. So it's been, that's sort of how it goes.
So then if we were like a fly on the wall, do you guys do table reads?
No, we don't. No. We don't. Oh, okay. Yeah, but you know what? If I, some scenes are, you know, obviously harder and more emotionally wrought than others. Every single person, my castmate, it's like open door policy. I'm like, hey, can we run this? And that tends to be super, super fruitful because for us, because like, okay, maybe we don't need to hear all of that. You know, I know how this scene goes. We've done it before, but actually I want to spend some good dedicated couple hour of just like rehearsal with somebody in particular, in like sort of a private rehearsal. We're really, really good about that. So I think we're really lucky in that way.
Nice. So Katie, yeah. I'm gonna pass it to you because I'm a chatty Kathy and I'll take over. So
there's
somebody in the chat that wants to say something.
There's no questions right now. They're just showing you love. We do have a viewer named she goes by Captain K Danvers Kane, quite the handle there. Is watching from 12:20 a.m. in Sweden. So thank you so much for being up so late to join this show. We appreciate it. They're all saying she basically said she would die for Mary's character. So, you know, there's a lot of love for Mary.
Oh my God. Warms my heart. Yeah. A lot of our viewers are night owls, I will say. I mean, like, Batwoman takes place at night. We're always shooting at night. I'm always doing like our Instagram takeovers and they're like, Nicole, take over our Instagram. I'm like, I mean, are you sure? Like, I don't know if people will like want to follow me. And then I'm amazed at like our viewership at like, I'm up at 2 a.m. on set and so are they. So real ride or die.
Yeah. And then I did have one question for you. Is there a certain thing that you kind of hope that maybe Mary gets to pursue in the show, her character more, like something personally that you think, oh, this would be a cool angle to see Mary do, or something you want to experience as Mary?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You and actually like the writers and I, like they're always asking me that. And I've been handed just such a delicious amount, you know, a dish of Mary because she's so out there and she's so much fun to play. I love seeing her. I would like to see her, you know, like I said, she's sort of in the middle of her coming of age story. That's how we meet her, which is amazing because she has so far to go, which wink, wink. I feel like I'm with the fans. Like I feel them. So on that journey, I want to make sure that I like take care of every step, that we're not jumping to anything, you know, like there's so much room for her to get in a ton of trouble, which I love watching her start to solve, you know, problems. And she really is this incredibly intelligent girl and she's often overlooked and there are tons of assumptions made about her because, you know, she's a 20-something or a millennial. I think there are a lot of assumptions about millennials that she breaks all the time. And so I like watching her hopefully, you know, inch her way, try and like nudge her way onto the Bat team and be a part of like the crime solving. I love seeing how she deals when she is in trouble, when she's sort of, you know, interacting with more villains, though I know it stresses our fans out to no end. It stresses me out too. and most of all, continuing to grow like the sister triangle that's at the heart and the root of the show. The show is, you know, among many things, but it's about like a bond between sisters, which is so awesome and powerful to me. And especially because I get to play one of those corners and to toggle between having one of my sisters be Batwoman and one of my sisters be the villain and me to be at a corner point and often finding myself in the middle of Alice's jealousy or Batwoman's moral dilemma, you know, is such a fun, endless playground to live in. And yeah, and also relatable. So
I want to talk Yeah. Like one scene where Mary got to be a badass and like knock someone out, and that was cool. Like,
yeah,
excited. But at the same time, like having a movement background, because I think like you and I actually share background, that you dance and then you have a lot of experience with choreography. I imagine for you, it's pretty easy as a dancer to pick up fight choreography. So,
Do
you ever have a conversation with the writers, like, please, can I, or have you started any training just in case?
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny.
I'm Maria Menounos.
Marshall, who is our fight coordinator, is amazing. And Kim, who is my stunt double, is absolutely incredible. Like, we have this running joke where Rachel truly, when Kim is and we are in costume from the back, she often is like mistaking the both of us. But Kim and Marshall, it's all like, though they're coordinating fights, it's all character based, which is like mind boggling to me. But just like a choreographer and dance, like they see things through character, which is amazing. And so if you look closely to the way that Mary fights, it's different than the way Batwoman fights. You know, of course, I mean, Mary's not a trained fighter like punching through ice capsules, you know. But she's an environment fighter. So she often will grab what's around her and sort of distance herself from the perpetrator, like her and Alice. And, you know, Alice fights really dirty, you know. So often like that was a fun scuttle that we got into because, you know, like Mary just knows the environment because she came to her clinic. So she knows the environment, but it's definitely more panicked and more environment based, but I love those days. I love stunts. I love learning. And yeah, but I will say like fight choreo, it's different than dance. It's like, it's so awesome. I'm just like finding new muscles. I like can't walk the next day, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, sorry, Katie, I want to check in with you really quick, see if we have anything that we need to check in with fans.
So one, the girl who's watching from, I believe it's, I don't know, actually, I don't know your gender, so I'm not going to gender you, I don't know for sure, but the Captain K, Danvers Kane, was also asking, like, if you would want to have a scene with Alice and Kate, because you've never done a scene with all three of you, but I thought there was one. Was there not one? Oh, because it was
because you left bit by passive the time. Because it's our Nocturna episode.
Yeah.
And I've been captured and Alice ends up, you know, huge turn of events, giving me her blood to save my life. So I don't speak in that. But yes, we've been in the same room before, but
yeah,
she's right in that we haven't had a scene.
So
but was she asking like what would that
be? I think she was saying she was saying, would you want a scene with the three of you? So
oh yeah I think it would be funny. I think it would be like battle of the tongues between Alice and Mary and then a very tortured Kate if I had to guess. But
yeah,
I mean, yeah, seeing a family therapy session with Jacob and his three insanely different daughters would I don't know if it would be more dramatic or comedic. I don't know.
probably a mix of both. Yeah,
that'll be in our like musical episode one day, just to like throw it all out there.
You know, one of the things I do actually want to talk about is diversity. That's one of the reasons why I love DC, I love CW so much, because they're so good about just incorporating different things. And I was just curious, with Batwoman, it's sort of like, it was a little unfairly skewed, and that you unfortunately do have people in the world that I'm just going to put out there and say are a little bit ignorant, right? And so there was a lot of controversy over the fact that we've got this female character who's the lead of a TV show. She's a superhero, but she's also the first member of the LGBTQ community. And there was a lot of backlash over that. So I'm curious if ahead of time, maybe some of the producers had any conversations with you guys to say, hey, like, be prepared, this might happen. Not a reflection of your talent, but, you know.
Yeah. I think being in this industry, and if you are diverse in any way, albeit your sex gender, sexuality, race, creed. You take that on when you enter this industry. You take on that platform, you know, whether you're ready or not. And I would say in our case, we are definitely ready, but we didn't even realize to what scope or what level. You know, it started from a story with Caroline, something very true. She wrote a story based on her actual life. And then we took on this iconic genre collection, you know, world of Gotham and Batman, you know, the Batman universe. Mm-hmm. And together we had a huge responsibility. But like I'd say, you know, with the Kate Kane character, with the Sophie character, even with the Mary character, what's insanely inspiring is that though maybe the media focused on having a gay woman lead a superhero show, we also have so many levels of intersectionality because we believe our audience is ready for it, will recognize it, understand it, and actually relate to it more because it seems more human. You know, we are many things. We are not just our sexuality. We are not just our race. We are not just, you know, that headline. Gotham or any city you go to contains a multitude of people. And so it's really exciting just being in my cavity and then being Mary and being blessed with Mary Hamilton, being given this, and then just her existing in Gotham, right, is saying something before she says anything. So I think this has many levels, but yeah, it's certainly something we really honored to take on, really inspired by our support. Like, our fans are so incredible, and we had a lot of negative press at the beginning, right? And sort of similar, I mean, but then, you know, you have to find the levity in it. Like, we're joking, like, I remember Caroline joking, there's like a comment that's like, a Batwoman should go back to her kitchen. And Caroline was joking, like, what if we opened the first scene of the show and Kate Kane is vacuuming the Batcave? Like, you know, like, sometimes you sort of have to laugh, but, you know, mostly, I don't know, I just think, like, love shines brighter, you know, and not jumping into like that hateful rhetoric is key. And so Mary is so delicious because she, in this dark and gritty world, provides a lot of levity, which I think is, you know, underrated, but really, really important.
And Mary, I mean, Mary was like a made up character, but I know a lot of people think that she was based off of somebody else.
Yeah.
We actually do have a picture, which you can't see now, but it's got you and it's got a couple of the other characters as well. And of course, the character they compare you to is Bette, and she's blonde. Mm-hmm. Do you think that your character at all is paralleling her?
100%. She's a mix of, you know, a couple characters, and there's not a ton of, you know, material there for her, for Mary. But she's, she's, Caroline based her off of Bette and Mary, and we're doing our own thing, obviously, in our own world with that woman and Kate Kane and her entering that family. She's definitely a combo of everything. But, you know, I've never felt that, because Greg, Sarah, Caroline, again, diversity was at the forefront, was a huge priority in more than one of their choices. And I am included, it's a little obvious with our faces compared. But it's so funny because, I see that comic and I was like, that is me. You know, like, she's got that red plaid jacket in the comic book picture. And Mary has like her iconic yellow plaid pea coat that she wears all the time too, and you know, and I find us like really similar, I mean outside of our wardrobe, deeper than that, but it's been, it's really awesome.
Katie, I know that you had a question. We wanted to talk a little bit about diversity ourselves.
Okay.
All of us being Asian American, although I don't, I get that I don't, I'm only half. So I get either I am or I'm not, or someone's like, you're Latina, go be with the Latinas. And I'm like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Familiar.
Take it away, Katie.
Yeah. So like Alicona said, we're all strong Asian females here, or half Asian.
Wow.
So, yeah. We were discussing how it is kind of refreshing that Mary is, first of all, that woman gets props for just how diverse it is, not just with the LGBTQ, but in everything. So we were saying that it is kind of nice to see an Asian American woman in a role that you don't see many women in. You know, she's the smart, badass girl that is a doctor, and usually you're used to seeing, you know, men be the doctors in these shows. Mm-hmm. So it's just awesome. And so how does it feel to portray such a strong female and be able to be like, it doesn't matter, these stereotypes, they're not always true, and there's other things women can be?
Yeah, it's all of what you said, and it lights the fire under my ass, man. Like, when I tell you, when I'm being given these descriptors and even the things that you list, I'm like, huh, like, I really gotta, you know, maybe I gotta hit the gym today. She's got a fight coming up. Or, you know what? Maybe I'm going to really make sure my mother is a doctor. So like putting that white coat on, like, not all heroes wear capes. And like, let me tell you, especially now in this moment, like, to be able to honor her in such a little way, but have such an appreciation for doctors, for aspiring doctors, for med students, for people on the front lines right now. It's, you know, they're like my inspo for life. Like, it's on that front. And then also her smarts in the way of how connected and locked in and dialed in she is onto the latest this and that. She's able to keep up with, she's also culturally intelligent and sociable and likable, and that breaks, and charming and witty and quick-witted, you know, that breaks down a lot of stereotypes too, that, you know, she's not just one thing, she's not robotic, she has flaws, she's quite vulnerable, and because she doesn't have these extra super skills in this world, that she's sort of a regular citizen of Gotham, I'll put that in quotes, we as an audience, like, we root for her and we want to protect her, and we give her more credit because we want to know how we'd fare in that situation, or how we'd do, or the choices that we would make. And I think it's such a wonderful and deeply thought out part of our show, because she can do anything. She can be anywhere. She can become anything, good, bad. She can make mistakes. She can change her mind. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's really exciting, because I think it just, she'll just start to seem like a person that you know, as opposed to a flattened person that, you know, you're watching on your TV that seems so far away from who you are.
Yeah. What about you? Like, you, Nicole, as an entertainer coming up in the world, I mean, you spent a lot of your younger years, like, in Virginia, and I remember reading something about, because you also did figure skating, and that Michelle Kwan gave you permission to ice skate and stuff like that. So growing up in the, I'm going to say South, because like I grew up also in North Carolina, and it is different. Mm-hmm. So like, how were you able to find your identity somewhere where you were trying to be Americanized, but at the same time keep your culture?
Yeah, I think that is a journey that I'm still on, still figuring out. But it's funny enough, like, my father fell in love with this sense of Americana. I sort of call him like the kimchi cowboy of my life, because he is just like all in, loves a good Western, and his America is really shaped by a particular culture. And was so strange to me growing up, you know, and was what I, you know, we're eating with chopsticks at home, you know, but he's giving me cowboy boots and, you know, Patsy Cline is on the radio. And I'm just like, I feel like my brain is like surging out, like short circuiting a little bit. But as I grew up, like being able to fold in all of these parts of yourself into one, as opposed to being like, oh yeah, like I'm a skater kid, or like whatever you had to do as a kid to like help yourself carve out an identity, it was really tough for me to do because I had all of these very differing and seemingly conflicting parts of myself that only as I've gotten older, I've just been able to like blur the lines a little bit and like, you know, and like fold more things in and have more things be true and have both of things exist at the same time and being okay with it. Being in this industry is a gift. And again, I feel like crazy lucky. Like I can't believe still like when I, the idea of me being on TV is wild. But I don't take it for granted, and I know how impactful my presence can be. So I definitely want, you know, want to continue on this thing that I'm on. Because it does not. I mean, I'm sure you guys too feel this way. Like, there's not a day that goes by that you're not like, oh my gosh, like inspired to get up, inspired to do work, because you know. Like you guys are talking to fans constantly. Like it's just really, really validating for the most part.
And what about the beginning of your acting journey? Because I know somebody inspired you. And then I read the story, and it's more fun for you to tell it than me to tell you about your life.
No, please.
I do want to talk about your application to Tisch and how that came about.
Oh my gosh. You guys, I was fully in like business school. I was like in a 5-year MBA program. I was an accounting major. I was doing the right thing in my, you know, Korean American household. My mother is a medical doctor. My dad is an engineer, like works for NASA right now. Oh, like I definitely, and then I had this teacher. I was taking theater as an elective, and she was like, you know, you're allowed to want to do this. And then a light bulb went off, and I just applied to Tisch. It was the only school I applied to. And I got on a bus to New York, and I got the last live audition of all auditions that year. And I went in, and I, you know, I remember do you remember the first time you heard what a monologue was? Like, I went in, I like did my thing, things were happening, and I was like, whoa, what just happened? And I gave him my dad's email. We're actually on one of my only trips to Korea that I've ever been, you know, on, and you know, meeting new family. And he was like, you know, what the hell is this? And I was like, did I get in? And he was like, we're gonna talk about this when we get back to America. Thank God he had a week, you know, to like cool down. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a mistake. But him giving me a blessing to go, it didn't happen fast. It didn't happen easily. I didn't have an easy conversation. It wasn't something, it's still transforming. My dad is still like, there's still time, you know, you can get your MBA. And it's an ever-changing relationship with he and I being first generation, you know, it's scary and culturally so dissonant, like as you guys probably know and understand. And so that was wild. I got on a Greyhound bus, 16 hours or something like that, from Cleveland, Ohio to New York City.
Did you steal a credit card?
Oh, I did steal a credit card first, because you need the application fee is like $75 for the Common App. And I was like, I don't want $7,100. So I like stole it. I was like, Dad, Dad, what was your credit card? You know, I was like, I need to order groceries, or I forget what I said. I made up something, and you know, and then yeah, thank God all of it happened in the month, and then he got the bill at the end of the month, and I was like,
oops. Like, at least I got in.
Yeah, at least I got in. I know. Oh my gosh. And with that, you know, there was a caveat. He was like, okay, fine, you can try this acting thing for 5 years, because like that's how he was sort of doing the math in his own life and being like, I did 5 years of grad school, so you can do 5 years of just, you know, playing around, exploring this hobby, and after 5 years you have to promise to go to business school. And I was like, okay, like down, okay, shake on it. And I couldn't believe that he was saying yes. It was such a huge step, so many fights, so many compromises, so many letters, so many tears, that he had finally come to that. And and actually this year I'm in year four, so
nice,
which is awesome. Yeah, so that's sort of where it all started.
And then what about, and then Katie, I'll let you take it away too, because I know, like I said,
but I'm
curious person. What about ABC Discovers, because that happens every year. And I'm like, what did you do? I think I did that like once, like years ago. And I think that's just so cool that like out of hundreds and thousands of people, you got picked, you know? Yeah. And for fans that don't know what that is, every year ABC Discovers does something where you submit, you can either do a scene or a monologue, but like everyone across country submits it, and then they pick just a handful of people. So
that
process and what you got to do.
Yeah. Anybody who's pursuing comedy, especially, or acting and is not sure what direction to go, I highly, highly, highly suggest the ABC Discovers just to submit a video, because they watch all of them. They watch, you know, over 10,000 submissions, and they watch beginning to end. They will watch your tape. I was in the New York program headed by Marcy Phillips, who has not only become a mentor, but sort of my life guru. I call her often, and I call her more than probably she would like, but she always picks up the phone. That particular year, that group of 12, those people have taught me so much that year. It was a crazy process, and I'll tell you that I did it for maybe 4 years in a row. Like, so keep going back. And you know, I got really close, you know, a couple years, and really devastated that I didn't make the final group, you know, things like that. But I kept on coming back, and I really believe that that group that I did get in was my group, you know, was my year. I just so many universe things that like lined up and brought those people into my life. Really, really grateful. And a huge variety too. People who had done this forever were trying this again. People who were just starting out. People who had been on Broadway. We had Nick Walker was in Broadway's Hamilton. You know, I was like geeking out. And just a ton of various people coming together. And like getting to perform. Oh, and develop scenes and working with writers. If you're out there and you want to submit scenes, your scene could get picked. It's a really great way to like have a network like ABC, as like vast as ABC, support and sort of sponsor you as a writer, as an actor, as a voice, and just come as you are. I think it's a very like grassroots, ground up, like let's, you know, getting some real people, getting diversifying who makes up our industry. I think it's really, really, I don't know, it was super valuable to me.
All right, Katie, so I'm gonna give you a chance to ask questions, or if anybody in the chat wants to say anything.
They haven't really said any other questions for the most part, but it just going to give our chat a shout out. If you guys do have, we are going to do some rapid fire questions coming up. Ooh. So if you think of easy yes or no questions, send them to the chat so I can read them off for Nicole to answer. And they're simple. Like, she hasn't be really quick about it. So it has to be like yes, no, true, false. I don't know, things like that. So get creative. But I mean,
you're basically, I'm nervous.
Oh, don't be. It's just the first, you know, it'll be easy. You got
it'll be fine.
But I was saying, you basically said what my next question was going to be, which was going to be if you had any advice for young actors, which is what you basically covered. So I think that's really awesome because I'm not an actress personally, but I had a roommate that was an actress and I know Ali Kona is in the industry, but I am still in the industry and I know how frustrating it can be to find your start. And I found it interesting when you said your dad gave you 5 years, see, I didn't grow up in the same Asian household that a lot of families are, because it's like third or fourth generation. I don't even know what generation I am. But I did have a mother who is not Japanese, actually, but she would be like, how long are you going to give this whole entertainment business thing before you hang up the towel? And it's like, I can't do classic. That, Mom. It's not that simple. And so I feel like that's really good advice of, it can be kind of hard to know where to start. And so if you are someone pursuing acting, I think that was a really great advice to something not everyone knows about. So, you know, thanks for sharing that.
Not something everyone knows about. And I would say like any industry that I was really, really, you know, dying to be a part of, right? I would say what I would do first is learn how to do the thing, right? So get into a class, get into an acting class, you know, learn about it, learn how to do the thing. How to ride the bicycle and ride it as well as you can, and then put yourself out there and put it to the test. You know, it's this big experiment, right? It's like you can prepare and prepare and prepare, but then lights, camera, action happens, and we are like moving, living being organisms. So those things and emotions come through, I guess, our vessel differently every single time, or it should. And that's how I see myself, as just a vessel, you know, and just clearing it out and making sure that anything can come in and that I can be surprised is the name of the game, you know. That's how it feels like. So yeah, no, but the more the merrier. It's never too late.
Well, I think it's time we should get into our rapid fire questions.
Let's do it.
So, Katie, I'm going to ask you, how do you want to do this? Because I know I have quite a few. Do you want to take turns, or do you want to go first half and I'll go second half, or blah, blah?
I only have a few, but if you want to do a couple, and then if the chat hasn't really said anything yet, so we'll let you start it, and then I'll just pick it up at the end. So even if it's only a few, but that way we give the chat some time to join us.
Sweet. So first question is like probably the hardest question, which is who's the actor that you've learned the most from on set for Batwoman?
Oh, that's so hard. I'm going to say Dougray Scott, who plays Jacob Kane and my father on the show. He's just like OG. I've watched him in The Princess Bride growing up. Like, he's a huge hero before I came in. And learning from him has been my absolute pleasure.
Okay, so... next question, favorite female comic hero prior to being on the show?
Comic hero, okay, recently, Ali Wong, she makes me cry laugh. I love her. Oh God, Tina Fey, Aubrey Plaza, I could go on, Amy Poehler. Tons of heroes.
Okay, and then in regards to Kate's love, are you team Sophie or are you team Julia?
Ooh, I am team love. The messier, the better. She's here for the tea, not to pick sides.
Okay, and then hardest scene you've shot?
My mother's death. Yeah, okay. Elizabeth's death.
Is there a script or episode that shocked you the most?
Seventeen is coming up. It's on April 26th. It's airing. Really shocking. Yeah, we can't talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Just two.
And then my last one is the best DC comic book movie.
Okay. Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
All right. That's a valid choice.
Take it away.
All right. So my first question is, do you hope Mary can get a super suit?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I think she hopes so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I hope so anyway.
Who knows?
And then me.
She's not ready.
Me and various people. Yeah, like season two, season three, maybe. But yeah, me and a lot of people in the chat are wondering, do you ship Mary and Luke?
I feel like I can't see that. I'm putting my foot in my mouth. You know what? I like love Cam so much. I don't know. Whatever happens, happens. I literally, we don't know what's going to happen. And I know the fans have, you know, some of them are like, the term is like bro TPing us, and some of them are shipping us. And I think, who knows? I don't know. I want to like read the episode and find out with you guys.
Okay, gotcha. Is there a certain Batman villain you would love to see on the show?
I don't know. I feel like Scarecrow would be really cool. I feel like any of the birds, like Harley Quinn, would be really badass. There's so many. Yeah.
I get you. And then last question that I have, and then the chat still hasn't settled up, but they're still on the, you know, they're on the Mary,
okay, cool.
Mary Lou thing. But anyone you would love to see as a guest star?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I would love to have Melissa Benoist come, you know, during her really light, easy schedule with Supergirl. She's amazing, an amazing actor too. I just think that dynamic would be really fun, like the light and the dark. I think, I don't know. I mean, this is me fangirling, but like BD Wong's character in the Gotham show, which is not our show at all. I don't want to show any confusion, but like, he's so awesome. Nice. I really am curious to see, like, I don't know, like in the Alice world, like, are there any more Alice in Wonderland sort of characters that come through? That would be awesome. Yeah. And yeah.
You also answered someone else's question, which they asked earlier in the show, which was, would you like to work with or meet Melissa or Kyler from
Supergirl? Yeah.
So,
100%. 100%, you guys.
Cool.
And I don't know if you can answer this question, but a fan asked if there's going to be a season two, but I don't know if that's been announced.
Oh, we've been ordered. We've been ordered to have a season two. Yeah.
I was so like, I couldn't remember.
Obviously, you know, as the world's shown us, anything can happen, but that's the plan. Yeah, we got a season two order, you guys.
Yeah. That's what I thought, but I was like, I can't remember. It's been a long month. So.
Yeah, it's been a long week, a day.
Awesome. Yeah, I think we're good. There is one thing I wanted to shout out from the chat.
Yeah.
It's not a question, but it's something I thought you guys would want to know just before we, you know, as we're rounding this whole thing out. But there was someone who did say the woman who was watching at 12 o'clock or whatever, she was saying that 10 years ago, Batwoman inspired her to actually come out as a lesbian. So this Batwoman just means a lot to her. So I thought you guys would like to know that, and that you could, you know, pass that along to your cast members too. I'm sure they would love that. But so that was a sweet moment that I thought deserved a shout out. That was from the Captain K Danvers Kane thing again. So
No. Stories like that are incredible. We have so many incredible, like, I get so much amazing fan mail and just stories like that, and it's really emotional. It's really like you take that on. I have sort of like a routine in my trailer. If I get mail, just I really read it through, sit with it, and consider it. Please send me like postage, stampage, and stuff, and the right, like, send me another envelope so I can send stuff back, because I'm not allowed to to send stuff back if there's no postage. But it's a really important part of my ritual about us getting into her. It just connects you to purpose, why you do it, what we're doing here, and that it does make a difference.
That's so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Nicole, because you know, you got stuff here, so there's things, but we joining us and talking to our fans and taking
Thank you, Rachel. Hug.
And to all of you guys in the chat that were tuning in, even if you didn't have questions, just sharing your love, we really appreciate it. If you're watching this on a delay, there's always that comment box below. You can leave comments. If you're on iTunes, same thing, comments, like, subscribe. Yeah. And of course, follow everybody on social media. Nicole, I'm sure everybody already does, but just in case, can you leave us your social handles?
Yeah, I'm at Nicole Kang on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it.
Awesome. Cool. Katie, go ahead and share with us.
Yeah, you guys can find me at KT_Christine on Instagram and Twitter. I'm active, especially right now, on both. You can also find me on the Riverdale After Show and, of course, the Batwoman After Show, which will be back, you know, shortly. So, yeah.
Woo!
Awesome. And then you guys know my name is Ali Kona Bradford. You can follow me at yours truly, Ali Kona, with little underscores in between everything. And then until we see you guys again for the next episode of Batwoman.
Yes, we can't wait.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.